Diary Materials. 1899. Christ testifies unswervingly by his character that no sin practiced by humanity can bear the commendation of the pure and holy God, and that he came to condemn sin in the flesh. Hear the words of Christ, all you who would practice your own unbelief and defects of character as virtues. What saith the Lord Jesus in the year 1899, Granville, New South Wales? He that will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Mark 8, verse 34. The teachings and words of Christ are to be received and practiced as the virtues essential for this life. Every man who will receive the truth taught by Christ will in charity practice the virtues of Christ, and Christ takes him into his close relationship to himself. He is our example in all things. He is the sample for the human family that they can live a life holy and undefiled. Souls must have the peculiar sanctification of the truth as it is in Jesus in their heart, to refine and purify them from their selfish course of action. I must constantly keep repeating these things before you, lest you become deceived by unruly tongues who do wrong and justify their errors. May the Lord so convict your minds that on your bended knees you will confess your defects of character and be converted. We have no time to lose. We are all individually a spectacle unto the world, to angels, and to men. Many claim to be Christians, but they are not Christians. Paul gloried in tribulation. He was susceptible to pain and disappointment. He came to those who had the light, but did not walk in the light. When some suffered with Paul, his voice was heard in clear, distinct tones. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 8, verse 18. Let then every soul consider that he is to show to the world a joy even in suffering humiliation and abuse, for Christ suffered in our behalf, and he was the Son of the infinite God. When it seemed at times that believers in Christ could endure no more, Christ's voice was heard, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The chief tempter is he who rebelled in the heavenly courts. It was a long, severe chapter of deception and satanic wiles. He had been carrying on his work day by day until his wiles could be tolerated no more, because he was misinterpreting God, Christ, and the true and loyal angels by his satanic inventions. And there was war in heaven, and Christ and his loyal angels fought until every soul that was liable to act on Satan's side was expelled for the safety of the loyal angels. Revelation 12, verse 7, 8. Ye are laborers together with God. This means that the Lord's workers in his vineyard are cooperating with him to put forth personal labor for the souls that are perishing in their sins. They know not how to come to Christ, and they need to be hunted up and brought to the Savior. Some do have a decided reverence for Christ. Lead these souls along, and step by step bring them to the Savior where they can see him. And by beholding him by faith, they will fall in love with him who gave his own life that they should not eternally perish. Some souls have a wavering impression that Christ's love is the very thing that they want. Temptations meet them on the right hand and temptations on the left. The open door must be kept before these souls. We see intemperance on every hand. 35 years ago, there was presented before me a part of the Lord's vineyard that was yet unworked. There was the greatest number absorbed in amusement that I had ever beheld, except in the picture of the inhabitants before the flood. There was every conceivable devising of Satan to lead and control the minds of men, women, and children. Intemperance in eating and drinking was destroying the life forces until the mind and the wonderful talent of speech were rendered cheap and full of corruption.
Let us eat, drink, and be merry was the order of the days that are solemn with their burden of results. There was horse racing. Lives were lost in the very actions of their passion to excel. In what? What is it, under the sun, all to bring the actors nothing but shame? their God-given powers to think, to speak, to improve in every way in this time of probation which is deciding for them their fitness for the future life? Is it to have heaven? Is it to be the sons of God because they have received Him who gave His life for them? If so, they come off more than conquerors through Him that has loved them. They have accepted Christ, believed in Christ, and are one with Christ. When Christ, who is their life, shall appear, then they shall appear with Him in glory. They were united with Christ as co-laborers to seek and save perishing souls. They find their harvest of souls on the very verge of surrender, only waiting to know, "What shall I do to have eternal life?" God wants workers with eyes to see and hearts to feel and a power to draw these precious souls. While there are many who will not give their hearts to Jesus Christ, who is waiting with open arms to receive every penitent soul who comes to Him for light and life, there are many who are forming characters for to be refused an entrance into the kingdom of God. They have no respect for those whom the Lord loves and whom He has related to Himself as His instrumentalities, as channels through whom to communicate. They despise them for their words and appeals that make them uneasy, and yet they become defiant in their rebellion. They are forming characters under the working of Satan's deceptions. The little sins, so-called, are sin, and, if persisted in and unrepented of, will through repetition harden the heart to resist all light, all the drawings of Christ, all the appeals to save them, the purchase of His blood, from eternal ruin. The Lord Jesus understands what they need, but they will not heed His voice of correction. The Lord Jesus accepts of no divided service, no halfway concessions. The standard of character which will fit them for heaven is unlike any comparison except the life of Christ, which is a standard of absolute completeness. It is required of every soul who is saved to buy gold, silver, and precious stones that represent the works of Christ, which is continual growth into the full stature of a perfect man in Christ Jesus. There will be new and increased knowledge as he seeks communion with God, and through surrender of his own will and inclination, he becomes molded and fashioned after the divine similitude. "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, while he is nursing rebellion? No, when he is repentant, contrite, and sorry for working at cross purposes with God. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." Isaiah 57, verse 15, 17-21. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isaiah 55, verse 7. We bear our testimony to the impenitent. "Beloved, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." The Lord now tells us that which interposes between the souls that are impenitent and Himself. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Isaiah 59, verse 2. "Is it not best now, just now, to seek the Lord and purify from your heart and character every sin that defileth? Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, all who are oppressed under a sense of your sins, for there is hope for you in God." The kindness and love of our Savior toward men has been demonstrated. The covenant of the grace of Christ commenced before the world was made. It existed from eternity, and it is named the everlasting covenant. As there never was a period of time when God was not, So never was there a moment when His grace to man was not the determinate counsel of the object of delight of the eternal mind. The salvation of the human race formed in His image. Let no one suppose the plan of redemption was not conceived of before Adam and Eve fell under the temptation of Satan, and that this was a method thought of to remedy the terrible work of the destroyer. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15, verse 18. Everything was done for our first parents to make them pure and keep them pure. The Lord has wrought out His own will in a mystery which all will fully comprehend in the higher school above. The person of Christ is to be greatly exalted. The mystery of grace is so large and deep and full that it cannot be divined by human minds. But the display of the Lord Jesus Christ before all human intelligences, before the universe of heaven, and before the worlds unfallen, the glories of His divinity put to the severe test of His taking humanity, and this the only means devised to redeem humanity, no tongue can tell it, no voice or talent of the most educated could describe it. The Lord Jesus was to display the attributes of His love that is without a parallel. The cross of Calvary stands to bear its unmistakable testimony that the law of God's kingdom is as immutable as His divine character. The cross of Calvary speaks the everlasting destruction of every impenitent, disloyal subject of His kingdom. His death magnified the law and made it honorable, removing every obstacle on the part of God to a perfect reconciliation through His only begotten Son. So that cross makes possible the bestowal of every gift treasured in heaven to all who receive Christ as their personal Savior by laying on Him their sins and no longer continuing in sin, for He made a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He tasted death for every man. Who can comprehend this amazing love, that Christ, equal with God, should give a ransom by giving His own life for the sinner, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have life everlasting? Every soul saved must have a personal interest in this great work. The Lord can receive every repentant soul and pardon every transgression, for this was arranged in the great plan in the counsel of His love. What scenes will be opened before us if we shall indeed be overcomers? And it is possible for us to be more than conquerors through Him who gave His life for us. It is not understood or appreciated what honors we may each give back to Jesus Christ in our life here in this world, if we watch every action of our own, that it shall not cast one reflection detrimental to the Christian experience we ought to have, and may have, if we will take hold of every advantage God has provided for us. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. There must be a beholding of the true standard of character. Then every soul, having a high conception set before them in the character of Christ, may, by honest endeavor, seek to obtain self-mastery by constant prayer and faith. If you fail, be not discouraged, but ask the Lord to forgive your failure and try again, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. You will gain progress in the strife, for it is by beholding Christ by faith that we become changed into His image in character. To reach the height of Christian excellence in character is to read the Scriptures attentively, get the full meaning of the Scriptures, and then be doers, carrying out the "it is written." There is no limit to spiritual attainments in and through being partakers of the divine nature. This is the greatest, the highest inducement ever offered to man. His identity is hid with Christ in God. He has that mind that was in Christ Jesus, and he has high, pure, and elevated thoughts, for he has grown into the likeness of Christ. No one can be in Christ without being a new creature. All hopes and aspirations are to do good and only good. Bring the peace and joy and fragrance of Christ into the daily thoughts and His practical life into your practical life, and you will never fall. You cannot, for you earnestly, sincerely committed the keeping of your soul unto God. The heart, the purpose, and the will are bound up with Christ. Thoughts on Romans 12. Paul, the great apostle, is writing to his brethren in Rome. In view of his teachings in the previous chapters of this epistle, he presents a comprehensive duty. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 1. In the previous instruction he has given them, he presents the Lord Jesus Christ as the channel. 1 Peter 2, verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Verses 3 to 5. The body must have special purification and sanctification. The Lord requires the whole mind, soul, and strength of the entire being. Therefore, it is the Lord's requirement that everyone who would have the restoring, healing influence of Christ upon his human tabernacle must have a knowledge of his physical structure. Physiology and hygiene are positively essential for proper education. Neither Greek, Latin, the dead languages, nor any other study is able to take the place of the highest education each student should be striving for. Every human being must know and have increased intelligence of the home he lives in. The laws governing the human machinery must be sacredly and respectfully regarded. The instruction has been given upon guarding every part of the human machinery. In our educational system, we must make the Word of God the foundation of all education. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. March 17, 1899. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Romans 6, verse 16, 17. The Lord of life and glory has a special work for each one of his subjects to perform. Our worldwide message is, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3, verse 2. Who are the subjects of kingdom of the God? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will not vindicate ourselves and justify ourselves, for this will not be of the slightest value to us. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5, verse 1 to 9. Read also verses 10, 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 10 to 12. Read also verse 14. This grace and this truth it is our duty to make known to the world, because we have a living experience. We are living epistles in the latter days, the very time when Christ predicted the inhabitants would be as were the inhabitants in the days of Noah. The message God had given Noah in warnings, he gave to the world before the flood, but they would not believe. They were eating and drinking and planting and building and marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came upon the unrepenting inhabitants and took them all away. Hear the words of Christ. So shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17, verse 30. My kingdom, Christ declared, is not of this world. John 18, verse 36. It is not established by force or by warfare or any one man's wisdom. Human power will not accomplish this warfare, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4, verse 6. He addresses every element opposing the work for which he gave his life, suffering reproach and rejection by his own people, whose moral taste was in accordance with their choice. Away with the Lord Jesus Christ, release Barabbas, a thief, a murderer, was their choice. See Luke 23, verse 18. With thieves and murderers will they have their portion, with all those of like choice. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Zechariah 4, verse 8, 7. The Lord Jesus Christ came to our world in the form of humanity. He stepped down from his throne as sovereign of heaven. He laid aside his royal robe, his bright crown, and clothed his divinity with humanity that made it possible for him to die for the human race, to make atonement for sin and transgression. To every soul that is perishing in their sins, he reaches out a hand that has been pierced, that he may grasp the hand of fallen humanity and say, Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, of restraint and obedience, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. What an invitation is this! He places great honor upon men and women and youth in giving everyone the privilege of yoking up with Christ. Whosoever shall heed the invitation are partakers with Christ in his humiliation and sufferings, and will be partakers with him of his glory. In Daniel we read, But the saints of the Most High God shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever. Many shall be purified, and made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Daniel 7, verse 18, 12, 10. We are not, as a people, to take part in politics. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 19-22. No one is to hold himself as an authority, but physicians connected in sanitariums are to blend. No one is to be placed in a position that he is to be the supreme authority, but builded together, they, groweth an holy temple unto the Lord. Verse 21. Read what, saith one who hath the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. See Revelation 2, verse 1-7. Ministers and physicians are to blend. Not one man is to take the jurisdiction, for that one man should not accept a position so as to confine the running of an institution, or the management of a church or sanitarium, as one of supreme authority. This is not to be. There is one represented as the chief in authority. All must look and inquire and do the way of that one who has charge of the seven churches, one who walketh amid the seven golden candlesticks. All difficulties are not to be brought to one man to make decisions. This is the great evil in Battle Creek. Everything is to come under one man's supervision. Consult together. All who bear responsibilities must act each from his own individual mind, seeking all the time for the divine wisdom that cometh from God. There must be a prayerful study of the Word of God. Christ is to be the one character in which all superiority is invested. One human mind is not to be considered a supreme whole. If that human instrument considers he is a perfect whole, by no means is this to be. Talk and preference will not make him thus. I would advise that the work be carried in our schools and in our sanitariums by united, wise counselors. You are not to suppose one man's judgment and experience is to be exalted as supreme. This is to be avoided. The ministers of Christ, the physicians of our sanitariums, are not to rely on their own perfection of wisdom in managing. Counsel together. Leave not your first love out of your counsels. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Exodus 31, verse 12 to 17. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, enshrouded in the pillar of cloud, who spoke these words. It was His voice which ordained that the Sabbath should be observed as a sacred day of rest. Till the end of time it was to be a sign between God and His people. Those who observe the first day of the week and try to compel others to observe it call that day the Christian Sabbath. But Christ does not own it. The seventh day is the Christian Sabbath. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, this day was blessed by Jehovah and set apart as the day of His rest. The law proclaimed from Sinai by the voice of Christ declares, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20, verse 3, 4, 7, 8. The command concerning the day which God sanctified and blessed, setting it apart as a memorial of creation, is placed in the bosom of the Decalogue. The first 4 commandments, which define man's duty to God, and the last 6, which define man's duty to his fellow men, are joined by a golden link. Faithful in that which is least. June 29, 1899. Character building is a great and important work. Christ gave His life to carry out the plan whereby fallen human beings may be raised from their degradation to the nobility of heaven. In view of this, what can we do better than to behold each day the beauty and attractiveness of the character of Christ? Why should we not speak of His goodness and tell of His power? Why should we not grow in grace, depending on the grace that comes from Christ for nobility of character? Said Christ to the Samaritan woman, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. John 4, verse 10, 13, 14. We are not living up to our privileges unless we expect much, receive much, and impart much. It is only under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit that we can do this. The Lord is dishonored when those who call themselves by His name give Him only a half-hearted service. Christians are to grow in grace. It is our privilege to develop characters that will endure through all eternity. Those who strive, in Christ's name and strength, for full Christian development of character will accomplish much. They will be enabled to hold the beginning of their confidence firm unto the end. It is our privilege so to live that each day the record in the books of heaven will declare, ye are complete in him. Colossians 2, verse 10. Shall we not increase the talents entrusted to us by trading wisely upon them? Shall we be envious of the talents entrusted by the Lord to another? God gives to every man according to his several ability. In the parable, the one to whom 5 talents were given went away, and by trading wisely upon them, gained other 5. To another, 2 talents were given, and he also, by trading, gained 2 more. These servants were highly commended, and he who had gained 2 talents was as highly commended as he who had gained 5. Why? Because he had done his best. To another was given 1 talent. By wise use of that talent, he could have doubled it, as the others had done with theirs. But he was ungrateful, and wrapping his talent in a napkin, he hid it in the earth. When his Lord came to reckon with him and found what he had done, he said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Matthew 25, verse 26 to 29. In his great mercy, God gives to all according to their ability to use and improve the gifts bestowed. If the man capable of improving only 1 talent had been given 5 or 2, the responsibility would have been greater than he could bear. But if he had wisely improved the 1 talent and brought the returns to his Lord, he would have received the same commendation that was given to the one who brought back 10 talents. He would have been happy in his work. His heart would have been filled with rejoicing, for he would have realized that he was trading upon something set apart by the Lord for his special use. His talent would have increased in his hands. He would have regarded it as a sacred trust to be used to the glory of God. Wisdom from above would have been given him, and the 1 talent would have been doubled. "Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath that he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments, to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, which I command thee this day, to do them." Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 to 11. These words point out the possibilities and probabilities before the people of God. We are to be laborers together with God. Every Christian should give close attention to the reading and hearing of the Word. Every Christian is to be an earnest, practical worker. Constantly we are to obey the Word. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto eternal life. John 6, verse 27. The man who has been entrusted with 1 talent is to make the most of it, because it is God's gift. By faithfulness in its use, he may become a practical, trustworthy worker, able to stand in his lot and place, and ready to go whenever and wherever duty calls. Constantly he moved upward, toward a richer, holier life in the service of Christ. His example encourages others to make a wise use of their gifts, to do their best. He has no desires to disparage another's gift. He holds his own as a sacred trust. By a faithful performance of the minor duties, he gained an inspiration to grasp higher realities. The one faithful in that which is least becomes faithful in much. The weak becomes strong. The soul, through its connection with God, lays its hand firmly on truth itself, and appropriates the purest, most noble sentiments. Such a man, because he has consented to live in the valley of humiliation, is highly exalted by God. Christ says, "Friend, come up higher." The meekness and lowliness of Christ characterize his daily life, and he feels himself at home when learning of God. He is taught of God. He identifies with the truth, loving God supremely and his neighbor as himself.